This is part three of my lecture on expansions of periods, and this part of the lecture is really mostly concerned with some items that more or less belong in the area of expansions of one-part song forms like periods, but there seems to be no other real place to put them. In other words, this is sort of the grab bag. The first of these is a very important element, and it is what we call a phrase group. Now, by definition, a phrase group is a group of two or more phrases that belong together somehow, but they really cannot be analyzed as a period or an expanded phrase of some sort. Their belonging together might be very obvious. Other times their belonging together might be rather subtle. And we have to understand that the phrase group is one of those ideas that can be abused very easily. It's awfully easy just to start invoking phrase group all over the place when you just haven't really studied the music very carefully. So you have to really, really take care when you call something a phrase group. There's a lot of them out there. Now, just to make things interesting, I'm going to start out the discussion with a rather subtle piece that gives you a sense of how tricky calling something a phrase group can be. This is a Mendelssohn example. Let's listen to it once. Make sure you have the score in front of you from the notes so that you can follow along. On first blush, one might be inclined to think of this as being a period. After all, the first four measures do move to a half cadence, and the next four measures start a new phrase, which starts out very much like the first phrase, and then that moves to at least some kind of a tonic cadence, even though it's a tonic six. So in other words, it's an implied cadence rather than a full one. And then the third phrase, which moves itself onwards, but if you will notice, taking a very careful look at that third phrase, you'll notice that it also moves to a half cadence. So what we have here are three phrases that don't quite seem to fit the categories that we understand so far. The first two phrases together don't really form a period, and the reason they don't form a period is because of that implied cadence at the end of the second phrase. That makes us hear the third phrase almost as an extension. And as a matter of fact, it almost could be just an extension if it weren't for the fact that first, it works harmonically differently, and second, it's also a phrase in its own right. But it's a phrase that moves to a half cadence. So it's almost as though if this were some kind of a period, it would be antecedent followed by consequent followed by antecedent, but that doesn't make any sense. You can't reduce it down to a period, really, in fact, and it's very hard to try to reduce it down to a period with an expanded consequent, that is, the implied cadence introducing an expansion, because the expansion is a full phrase in its own right that also moves to a half cadence. It never resolves. What you have here, therefore, is a phrase group. It's three phrases, definitely three phrases. They definitely belong together. They're parallel. They start out with the same material. They're associated to each other, but they are not a period, and there's no expansion here either. So it's three phrases, and you would diagram it as A prime, and A double prime as an analysis. That's the best way to get around this, to figure out how to deal with what seems to contradict, you know, what you've learned about periods so far. And that's mainly because this is not a period. So first phrase. Moving to a half cadence there. Now, next phrase. Moving to implied cadence on 1/6. And then moving to a half cadence. The thing never really gets any closure. And that's an important consideration. It never gets any closure. A phrase group may very well have closure once it reaches the end of the group, but it's typical of phrase groups that they're found in places usually where you don't want closure. Phrase groups are typically found in transitions. That's where you'll find them more than anywhere else, because their lack of closure very often makes them perfect for transitory material. They can close. I'm not implying that every phrase group doesn't close off, but the fact is that they don't have that kind of rounded closing off that would be typical of a period, and therefore would be very good for primary melodic material. So let's take a look at a phrase group that's very easy to identify. A phrase group that's easy to identify is one in which there are three phrases, different phrases, so you would analyze them as A, B, and C. And while they don't necessarily have any kind of connection melodically to each other, they have a very obvious sort of belonging together in a unit. They share rhythms, they share overall contours, and so forth. Here's an example from Mozart. I think you'll notice that this is an example of a phrase group that comes to a full closure. It ends on an indubitably authentic cadence. What makes this a phrase group is the fact that all three phrases are obviously part of one overall thought. The second phrase acts almost developmentally from the first phrase, and the third phrase acts as a kind of a summation or a closing off. So while there is not something really obvious about the way the phrases began that makes them parallel, still they very, very clearly belong to each other. Let's hear it again. So our first phrase, da-dum, da-da, going to a half cadence. Now, developed onward. That's slowing down. Now, concluding with even a little expansion. This is a slightly expanded phrase, coming to a full conclusion. So we can hear that the phrases belong together, but they're not periodic, and together they do make a complete thought. So this is an example of a phrase group that actually could be a primary melody in a composition. It's not a transitional kind of phrase group. It's completely closed off. But notice, this is an important subtlety that a fine composer like Mozart will understand, is because all of the three phrases they're different, A, B, and C. They're different materials. They're held together as an entire unit that makes a complete thought. That way the three contrasting phrases still have a cohesion together. Whereas in the first example that we heard from Mendelssohn, where it's essentially the same phrase three times in a row with variants, it was more important not to close it off, because if you close the thing off with three parallel phrases, it just becomes kind of tedious. Here, though, you've got really contrasting phrases, so the whole thing can close itself off very nicely. The next example I want to go through is actually one I'm going to ask you a question about, because this is precisely the kind of structure that can drive you to despair when you're doing analysis, unless you're very careful to think through what's happening here. Let's listen to it once again. Have your score in front of you. The question here, though, with this example, this Mendelssohn, is what makes it a phrase group? Because we're going to start out by saying that it is a phrase group, and not a period with a repeated antecedent. All right. So let's ask that question, and listen to the structure. So again, the question, what makes this a phrase group and not a period with a repeated antecedent? Think about it for a moment, but let me help you with a few things. Let's begin with that first phrase. Now, I think it's pretty obvious that that first phrase is a very clear setup for a period. I mean, it sure sounds like one, doesn't it? Listen to just the first phrase. Boy, that's a delayed half cadence if I ever heard one, right? You good old cadential 6-4. That's the setup, as you know, you've come to recognize as almost a cliche. It's the setup for a period. What follows, it acts like it's going to be a period. It acts very much like it's going to be. Let's hear the second phrase. So not only does it close off very nicely, it has modulated, right? It started out in A minor and now it's gone to G major, but that's okay. You know, we've talked about periods as modulating before. However, it's what comes immediately after that that poses the problem. Okay, that's the big issue. Let's hear that third phrase now. Whoa, that almost sounds like another antecedent. Now, when you hear it in context, therefore, that is the three phrases together, more and more it begins sounding as though the second phrase is a kind of an interlude between two antecedents. It sounds less like a period with a single phrase following than it does three phrases which are glued together, but ultimately moving to a half cadence. In short, it makes a very uncomfortable fit as a period because of the third phrase. But it makes a very comfortable fit as a phrase group. And as a matter of fact, probably the best analysis for this would be A prime B. That would be good because it's like almost, it almost feels like a period with a repeated antecedent in a way, but it's not, again, because the first two phrases are in a kind of a periodic structure by themselves, which is fine until you bring that third phrase into the issue, which kind of messes everything up. So this is why we would tend to call this a phrase group rather than that, because again, it makes one very large idea. You notice that it's open at the end, it's not closed, that doesn't quite comfortably fit into the idea of a period. So let's hear the whole thing one more time. This is our first phrase, of course. Notice it tends to stay right on the dominant. It's more or less a gloss on 5 throughout. And now we're going to modulate into G major, which is the key of 7 in A minor, and move our way back. C major-ish here, and then 5 of A minor. The whole passage is very much in A minor. Again, if we look at the harmony very carefully, we realize that the three phrases together really are a kind of a very expanded, prolonged statement of the dominant, really, when you get right down to it. That's what's happening. It all boils down to being a great big 5. This is quintessential kind of phrase group as transition, which again, as I told you at the beginning of this discussion, that's where you tend to find phrase groups, is as transitory material. And this is a great example of how they work. So one more example, and I think you'll find this one pretty easy, really. Sometimes phrase groups are easy enough to spot because what they are three parallel phrases, which this definitely is, that don't have the harmonic structure of a period. As a matter of fact, they all close. You know, all three phrases close themselves off just fine. They're completely self-contained phrases, but because they have some kind of connection to each other. In this case, it's going to be just blatant parallelism is what keeps them connected. But sometimes the connection might be almost, you know, at a metaphysical level or something like that. But in this case, the connection is very obvious. But the phrases close off very nicely, but they belong together, very much so. So let's listen to this. This is by von Weber. The question I ask in the notes about this is, why is this a phrase group, a prime, a double prime, and not a period with an expansion? You need to take a minute to think about that, but I don't know, it shouldn't take too long. I mean, you might want to hit the pause button if you need to think about it very long, because there's no period here at all. Where do you find a period? All of these phrases begin and end on one. They're just as square as they can be. But they belong together. That's what's interesting. So there's absolutely no periodicity here at all, but you do have three phrases which seem to belong together. Therefore, this is definitely a phrase group.